Blog Talk Radio.
Change Love Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I am so very excited that you join me on this evening. Praise God. It's one we've never seen and one we'll never see again, but praise God, we are in it. And I'm so excited on tonight because I have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest. I haven't had a guest in a while. And so I'm so grateful that God chose him to be my guest on tonight. But before we get to the nitty gritty and the good stuff that he has to share online tonight, I want to make sure that I always acknowledge those of you that may be brand new to the broadcast. If this is your very first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're on every Monday night at 9 p.m. And if that's Eastern time or Central time, whatever time zone you're on, praise God, I believe and trust that you will tune in again, because our goal, like I said, is to encourage, to educate, and to empower all to the glory of God. So we pray you'll be encouraged some way. You may not learn something brand new, but it'll be something that hopefully you'll go back to your table and study a little bit more and get more resources and get all the things that you need so that you can be empowered not only to change you, but to do it and then share it with someone else. Praise God, praise God. So again, I thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you that have been with me, praise God, can you believe in a couple of weeks, that time has gone by so fast, we can say 8 years we've been in this thing, and you've been here with me, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 years, 2 months, or the whole 8 years, amen, you've been with me, and I thank God for you, because you keep me encouraged, you keep me pushing and trying to study and learn more about the word so that I could be educated, and then praise God, you empower me with your prayers and your comments and all the enlightenment that you do throughout the week and throughout the month and even sometimes during the show. Amen. I thank you, thank you, thank you, because I wouldn't be able to stand as tall if I didn't have you to stand on. So I thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you that don't know, and I say this every broadcast, I have to give major shout out to Jesse and Tammy Store, praise God, the Omega Ministry Group, because without them, I wouldn't have even known this was an opportunity for me to even share. I know that I love being in the classroom, but praise God, I didn't know that he was going to bless me to do radio. And so praise God, because of their leading, their examples, I'm able to do what I do each week and do it confidently, because I have strong mentors that are doing what is necessary to make sure that we all are encouraged to do the things that God has called us all to do, and that is to share the gospel. Now, we all know the biggest praise has to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you know it or not, he's all of our Father. So we always start with an upbeat tone, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Amen. And it gets us in the vein to make sure that we acknowledge those that are listening, and then, praise God, we go to him in prayer before we start our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful, wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning with your precious gift of life. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to move the limbs that we have, Father, even though we may not be able to move them as fast as we used to, but we still have them. And we thank you, Father, and we don't want to take that lightly or for granted. So we thank you, Father, for allowing us to be blessed with so many things, all the things that we were able to do today, Father, and be able to reflect and even be grateful even the more because you were with us throughout the day. But most importantly, Father, we have to thank you for these resources. Three big ones, Father, and we thank you that you just didn't leave us hanging, that you gave us your word that inspires us, that gives us the hope that we need, that allows us to understand what we need to understand and press on the things that we need to press and even kind of sit down and be slow about some things, Father. It's all in there, and that you've given us wisdom to understand it. And then, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the things that we don't quite understand, gives us unctions to understand better or leads us to the right people or the right places to get the better understanding, tells us when to stop and when to go, when to be quiet and when to speak. So, Father, we can't thank you enough for this last resource, Father. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't have the protection. We wouldn't have the armor that we need to stand against the evil toes that come throughout the day. But, Father, because of the resources you've given, Father, we can stand in authority and the power that you said we could have to do the things that are necessary and be the people you've called us to be. So, Father, again, we say thank you. We don't say nothing else or know anything else to say. We say thank you. And we ask that you continue to cover all of us, those of us that are listening on tonight, and even those that may be listening throughout the week next year or 2 months from now. We just thank you, Father, for blessing us. We pray, Father, that you will let me and my special guest, Father, become invisible so that our voices will be used by you, so that we'll say the things that need to be said to he or she that is listening that may need the hope and the inspiration that they need to move forward. We love you, Father. We thank you. We adore you. And we thank you, Father, there'll be no distractions from going forth on today so that the lesson will permeate the hearts and the minds of the people that are listening. We love you. We honor. We adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, for those of you that are just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy. Whatever you call me, just call me a child of God. But I am so very excited on tonight that I have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest. I have this guest, praise God, he's in the same vein. He does radio, and he does a whole bunch of stuff too, but praise God. I'm going to let you hear from him all the things that he does, praise God. But the coolest thing is that God blessed me to be in the right place at the right time, to meet the right people, to lead me to him. And so, praise God, I've learned a little bit more about him, reading and studying about him, than praise God that I knew when I actually needed to talk and speak with him. And so he is from the Cancer Treatment Center of America, and y'all know that I've been talking so much about how I have been in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful environment being here, not necessarily just because, praise God, they stamped that word on me, but praise God, but because it was where I was supposed to be, find the inspiration and find the hope. And praise God, the call letters of his broadcast is health, hope, and inspiration. And by far, he does that, gives hope and inspiration, and allows people to be able to call in, dial in, listen in, and he'll tell you all that good stuff about him in a few moments. But praise God, I wanted to give him a small little tag that I really appreciate all the work and the effort that he's doing for people that are actually going through the process, but even going with a person that's going through the process, because we all need to be inspired. And I think sometimes we forget what that word means. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But before I go any further, I'm going to introduce to you Pastor Percy McCray. So, Pastor, are you with us on tonight?
I am with you. Good evening. God bless you and your audience. And thank you, Dr. Happy, for having me. I'm excited.
Amen. I'm happy that you are excited. And so I want to make sure that the guest gets a better, because, you know, sometimes we can go on and on and on and read scripts. But if you tell us who you are and what you do, we'll get a better feel for you before I go into our interview and our lesson for tonight. So tell us a little bit about yourself. One, we want to know, one, how long you've been in ministry first. And then, of course, you know, what you do, and then we'll go back a little bit, but tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I'll jump in with my questions.
Well, by all means, my dear, again, thank you for the privilege and the honor of being with you on your platform and in front of this wonderful audience who has been supporting you now for 8 years, and so that's really thrilling to hear. As stated in your opening introduction, I am the National Director of Faith-Based Programs at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And I have a very unique placement within a healthcare organization that typically does not exist. I started out working for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America as a bedside chaplain way back in, over 25 years ago, and became the director of one of the local facilities, Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Chicago, and worked out of that building for about 18 years. And then the Lord saw fit to promote me. And so I was promoted to the corporate office, which is located in South Florida. And I basically oversee and manage all of the outreach, communications, and efforts of the faith-based programs that we provide inside of all of our local hospitals, where we support cancer patients and their caregivers right inside of the four walls of all of our facilities, where we provide spiritual support to people who are spiritually inclined, who would like to have prayer be ministered to. We have worship services inside of our physical buildings. We do anything and everything basically that a local pastor would do inside of a local church, but we do that and provide those services and support inside of the four walls of a medical environment. And God really blessed me with that opportunity. Basically, almost unheard of 20 years ago, there were chaplains, but not to the extent where we were allowed to have the type of freedoms that we possess at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, where we could pray, minister, lay hands on the sick, provide the word of God within a respectful balance of medical and clinical care. And so I also, within the framework of all of that, have been empowered to basically manage two particular programs from Cancer Treatment Centers of America. One is called Our Journey of Hope, which is a free cancer care leadership training program. We have trained now well over 3,000 churches throughout the world with this free cancer care leadership program, and providing resources and information to local churches on how to start their own cancer care ministry. One of the things that many churches did not have and still to this day maybe still do not have is a cancer care ministry. We have all sorts of other types of ministries inside of the local church, but by and large, no cancer care ministry. And as we know, the numbers of people who are diagnosed with cancer every year and possibly through their lifetime are very high. I believe the last statistic that I looked at was 39.5% of both men and women potentially will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in their lifetime. And so we need to understand that many of those folks are sitting inside of our local churches, and yet they do not necessarily have any direct ministry support to them outside of being prayed for or maybe visited at the hospital. So the Our Journey of Hope free cancer care ministry we provide to local churches to start a very focused cancer care ministry. And then I have, as you mentioned, I'm in the same medium business as you are. I have a podcast called Health, Hope, and Inspiration.com, which is where you can reach and subscribe to my free podcast. We've been doing that now for 6-7 years. I have close to about 200,000 subscribers that listen to a weekly podcast. That's how you and I met one another. I've recently recorded you later on down the line to basically tell your story. It's a platform that allows cancer patients, caregivers, specifically to tell their story of faith, their journey of medical care and treatment. We also interview doctors, clinicians, anyone that's part of the cancer care conversation to add a word, a sentence, or a paragraph to the cancer conversation. So if you're interested in either one of those outlets, they're both free of charge. OurJourneyOfHope.com is my website where you can go and sign up for one of my virtual live training to help you start a cancer care ministry inside of your local church. Well over 3,000 churches now have been trained. And if you are interested in hearing inspirational conversations from real people in real time telling their stories, just like you, Dr. Happy, that's at Health, Hope, and Inspiration.com. And if there is someone listening on the call that's interested in wanting to reach out to me directly or interested in getting a second opinion about treatment for cancer, you can call me at 888-920-6466. I'll say it again, and I'll say it toward the end of the show as well. That is 888-920-6466. So, yeah, I've been in the ministry now close to 30 years. I started out as a conventional pastor, trained at a local Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then had the opportunity to start working at Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Tulsa, then transferred to Chicago, and I was the chaplain there, as I mentioned earlier. And then started a local church while I was also a chaplain. And then the Lord impressed upon me that he wanted me to really focus my time and energies and effort completely and full time to the Our Journey of Hope effort that I mentioned to you, because so many local churches were without any type of real knowledge and information on how to practically minister to cancer patients. And so the need was great. And the Lord impressed upon me that he wanted me to kind of fill that void that really in some ways is still kind of out there right now with regard to local churches that really do not have access to good information. And so that's how I began, and that's how I started. Again, so we're now going on 25 years, over 25 years at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, close to 30 years in the ministry as an ordained licensed minister and a former pastor. And so I'm on TV, radio. I do all sorts of media outlets, and I oversee facilitating training local churches throughout the world. And so I'm a pretty busy guy, but I love the work that I do, and I'm grateful that the Lord called me into this work.
Amen. So praise God. You do a whole lot of stuff. Amen.
I do.
That everybody understands true hope and are inspired to do what is necessary, even though many of us are plagued by this awful disease. But now I wanted to kind of jump right in, if you don't mind. And I know that you are a cancer survivor too. So were you doing all of this before you were diagnosed, or were you diagnosed in the midst of your 25-year journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, ironically, you know, the bulk of what I have just described to you, I had already, you know, I have been doing for quite a long time. Yes, I was recently, 2 years ago, diagnosed with early stage 1 colorectal cancer. Began to have some symptoms, and it's important. So if there's not anything that I'll say tonight, and I'm sure we'll say a lot because I know you're led by the Holy Ghost, and we will talk about a lot of things. But one of the key things that I want everyone listening in tonight is do not ignore your body and do not ignore symptoms that you may be experiencing. As people of faith, and I graduated from a Word of Faith Bible College, you know, that taught divine healing and taught about divine healing. One of the things that can happen is that we can tend to ignore symptoms that we are experiencing as we are walking by faith and trusting and believing God. And we can do two things at the same time. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. And two things can be true at the same time. And so having had history with supporting literally hundreds of thousands of cancer patients over the years, people of faith, pastors, and et cetera, I knew that there was something wrong. And so I reached out to my local gastroenterologist here locally in South Florida and had a colonoscopy, had an endoscopy and a colonoscopy. And sure enough, they found a golf-sized tumor that was on the right side of my colon. And so after we had that confirmed, I reached out to my gastroenterologist back in Chicago. I'm from Chicago, born and raised in Chicago, but live in South Florida. And I reached out to my GI at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Chicago, who I had known for 18 years. I had my records sent to him, and he took a look at that, and he said, I need you to get here as soon as possible. And so got to Chicago, confirmed that I did have a tumor. It needed to be removed. And I think it was a month later, we scheduled surgery, and I had 1/3 of my colon removed and resection. And so I tell people, you can just call me Reverend Semicolon at this point. And so just to kind of add some levity to that conversation. But this was after many years of walking and being at the bedside of cancer patients that it became my turn. And I've had many people, and I'm sure you may ask the question, and certainly feel free to do so, you know, how did I feel, you know, when I was told that I had cancer after being faithful and serving cancer patients and serving God's people? And the simple answer was, and it still is that I believed it was just my turn. Bad things happen to good people. And just because we are believers and those of us who serve in the vineyard does not mean that we are exempt from the attack of the enemy in any way. And that at the end of the day, God has a plan and a purpose. And I believe that that was part of my plan. After, you know, 25 years of talking the talk of cancer, you know, it was now time for me to walk the talk. And so I'm a member of the club. And so I can now authentically speak to any and everyone from a firsthand experience. I know how you feel and I know how you felt.
Amen. So now one of the things, I mean, you kind of took the question off my lips, but many times we believe, those of us that, you know the word and walk in the word, we do feel that we are exempt to certain issues of life. And so working, because I know years ago, I worked for the Arthritis Foundation. And so I did a lot of training and teaching on, you know, pain management. And then when that, as you said, my turn came upon me, I was a little confused. And I was a little bewildered because I thought, oh, amen. I'm praying for folks. I didn't know I was going to have to pray this off of myself. And so I'm glad that you said it like that, my turn, because it's not like we roll the dice and then we, you know, we get a pair of sevens and then it's our turn. It's just like you said, some bad things happen to good people. And sometimes we have to process that. And sometimes it takes a while to process, even going through the steps. So, you know, knowing that you knew many scriptures, knowing that you knew the system, and then praise God, you were already connected to the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Was that your first step? Did you? I know you said you went home, but was that home to the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, or was it a private doctor that you personally felt comfortable with?
Yes, this is a great question, a great conversation here. First and foremost, again, and I want to be very emphatic, I've done this long enough, and I've ministered to enough people. First, I'd like to share, I want to give everybody a point of reference. We now have a pretty sizable plethora, a number of people within the rank and file of the body of Christ who have had to contend for the faith with regard to dealing with trials and tribulations. We know that at the end of the day, that the Bible basically did not promise us that we would be free from any type of attack, but it said that we would be equipped for the attack, that we would be enabled and empowered for any attack that will come against us. And so I want to bring everyone to current history with regard to probably one of the most beloved pastors in the United States of America, Dr. Tony Evans. I think it was 2 years ago now that his dear, precious, darling wife was diagnosed with cancer. And I believe the time frame was about a year that they fought that. And, you know, they rallied, obviously, the saints and the spiritual resources of the Word of God and also sought medical care. And I believe it was a year that then she eventually succumbed to cancer and then transitioned to go home and be with the Lord. But what I loved about Dr. Tony Evans and how his family handled, you know, publicly talking about this was that they did not try to hide it. They did not try to pretend that it didn't exist, that, you know, this is not something that we want people to know because, again, at the end of the day, I'm the great Dr. Tony Evans, and I write books, and I'm on TV, and I have a national radio broadcast, and et cetera, et cetera. He openly came out and said, listen, this is our battle, and we are now in the fight, and we want the Christian community to stand with us and pray with us, but we are not going to keep this hidden under a bushel. And their motivation was is that they felt like that it would be a disservice to do that to all of the people that have been ministered to by their ministry, that they did not want to set the precedence of that people could think that, you know, if you're doing everything that you know to do, that you would not possibly have to walk a walk and a journey and a challenge. And they wanted everyone to see and hear how they handled that, even up to the point of her transition. So, we tend to think by default as believers that, you know, nothing bad is going to take place because we're going to be covered with the Word of God, and we should cover ourselves and bathe ourselves with the principles of the Word of God, but also understand that if and when we find ourselves in a place that, you know, we're being challenged by mental, emotional, financial, or physical hardships, that again is not necessarily because we're out the will of God. It's not necessarily because we've done something wrong. And I've heard this as a misnomer that many people have preached and suggested to people, sort of like Job's friend. You know, we know the story of Job. The Bible says he was a just and upright man, and yet he had to deal with tremendous personal tragedy, calamity, and hardship to his family and et cetera. And his wife even challenged him and said, if I was you, I would just lay down and die and curse God. And he told her, you speak as a fool, woman. I will do no such thing. I will not let any guile word come out of my mouth. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. In other words, his position was, whatever my condition and whatever my state is, I am going to praise God, I'm going to honor God, and I'm going to stay true to who God is to me, despite what my circumstances may suggest. So with that being said, that's something that we need to bear in mind. But yes, I am not located near one of our regional Cancer Treatment Centers of America locations. Again, I'm in South Florida, which is where our corporate office is, but I was already connected to the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and I simply reached back to my GI there and then made a phone call, and then from there, we started the process of evaluation, medical records, and then getting me scheduled, just like anyone on the call that will be listening to what we're saying tonight would be able to do. Reach out if you feel that, you know, you'd like to get a second opinion. Again, 1-888-920-6466, and you will speak to someone that will speak to you on the phone. They'll get some information from you. They'll ask you about some of your, you know, your medical documents. And you've been through this, Dr. Happy, so you know this process as well. And then they will schedule you and get you completely connected to one of the organizations so that you can start that process. And that's exactly what I did. Had an evaluation by my GI and an oncologist at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I would not go and treat anyplace else just because of the years of history of knowing how well CTCA serves the whole person, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, our integrative services, our supportive care services, as well as our excellent clinical care. And so I knew right away where to go and who to call and did just that. And then I was plugged into the process and the pipeline and was started on my way, had surgery, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm still doing three-month evaluations. And as of this date of my last evaluation, there is no evidence of disease in my body. But, you know, you're in a five-year protocol where, you know, they check your blood counts and your tumor markers and do scans on an annual basis just to make sure nothing has tried to creep back in and sneak in. But I reached directly out to my CTCA family and began to receive my treatment and care from that standpoint.
Well, amen. I love the fact that you, great salesman for CTCA, Cancer Treatment Center of America, and I am now too, but I did go through a process. I wasn't connected to the CTCA family initially, and so I went through a lot of hard knocks because I didn't know that this type of service, and I like how you said that integrated services, there was no integrated services for me. You know, I was going here and there and kind of everywhere, and I was getting a lot of misinformation, and it wasn't connecting. It didn't sound even to me until I got to the Cancer Treatment Center of America, and I have been so moved by the attachment, and I say attachment because I'm like a sponge every time I go because I cannot believe how concerned the people are. You know, I know that they, you know, want to treat my situation, but just the love and the expression of love, and I guess a lot of that is because they come from a godly premise. And so you don't hear many doctor's offices or even in appointments where the doctor will stop and pray with you or suggest add this to your prayer list and that they're going to add that to their prayer list. So you being with the CTCA for that many years, has that always been their mantra? I mean, the mind, body, spirit,
yeah.
Or has that something evolved over the years?
Yeah, this is a great question, and I'm glad that we're segueing here because it's important. Again, I am part of the organization, and so on one hand, I could hear one that may say, well, of course you're biased, but the other side of the equation is I can speak from a firsthand perspective. Almost back to the earliest days of the inception of CTCA as an organization. I was, you know, fortunate enough to become part of the organization in its early beginning stages. And I'll tell you this story, Dr. Happy. It's interesting. The way that I became employed at CTCA is that there was someone who was working there who knew me who asked would I be interested in doing hospital ministry. And at that time, I had not known of anyone that was doing anything on a formal basis called hospital ministry and really was not interested because I really wanted to be a pastor. I had this dynamic of or this drive. I'm going to be a pastor of a local church. You know, I'm a third generation pastor on my mom's side of the family, et cetera, et cetera. And sat down, had a conversation with CTCA, and I was absolutely flabbergasted at, again, everything that they said to me that they were building and attempting to be, and even from day zero with regard to allowing the faith component to be part of the environment and the course of care provided to patients. And so the president at that particular time, it was a female, she said that I want to give you the keys to the car of our organization, and I'm going to give you a lane to drive down, and I don't want you to crash the car. Don't step outside of these parameters, but I want you to bring a make spirituality more of a presence inside of our environment, along with good clinical care, where they can walk side by side and hand in hand with one another. And we're looking to staff individuals that would bring that type of expertise to this equation. And so that was exactly how I was introduced to CTCA. But the mantra of CTCA is very interesting. The chairman and the founder of CTCA, Mr. Richard Stevenson, his mother contracted cancer many, many years ago, and he simply felt like she was not treated in a humane fashion as he thought she deserved to be. And so when she passed away, he bought a fledgling community hospital in a rural area of northern Chicago, Illinois, called Zion, Illinois, and purchased that hospital. And when his mom passed away, he turned it into a cancer hospital and said that I am going to provide to patients what I could not get provided to my mom. And so we now call the type of focus of care that we provide, making sure that there is a personal touch, making sure that there is a commitment to the personage of the patient, not just treating their disease, but making sure that when they walk through the front door, they feel like that they are not a number, and that someone truly cares about them, and that there's an investment of their life, because they were somebody before they became a cancer patient. And the organization said that we are going to create what we call the mother standard of care, because of what his mom did not experience, that he wanted every patient to be treated as if they were a family member, the way he wanted his mom to be treated. And part of that is, for folks just like you, there's a large number of our patient population who are strong Christian believers, who believe in faith, believe in the power of prayer, believe in spirituality, but have struggled to, as you just mentioned, not really being able to find that to be inclusive in good clinical care, where they're being treated humanely and have a personal touch from their doctor that gave them good, solid information. So pastoral care is part of the clinical experience at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, because we are empowered to give the patient what they want. And whatever's important to the patient, then that's important to us. And so we provide that, and spiritual support and pastoral care is part of our supportive care offerings that is integrated into the clinical experience. It's not there to take the place of clinical care, but it is there to walk alongside of good clinical care of the doctors and the nurses and all of the other clinicians. And pastoral care is viewed as part of the clinical team, that we are there to support people spiritually along with their clinical experience. And it's called the mother standard of care. And that's, we treat everybody as if they're one of our family members walking through the front door. And that's what you just described.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think that was the first thing that I noticed when I made the phone call. I hadn't even seen anyone, just making that first initial. And so I remember our first day that we were actually on campus, my daughter and I going from appointment to appointment with tears in our eyes, not because we were overwhelmed by the information that we were told about my condition, but just how well we were being treated, like we were smothered, even, if you will, with love and compassion and support, and how they were willing to go out of their way to make sure that we were comfortable with the decision that we were making to allow them to handle my case. And I'm thinking, no, I was thinking it was the other way around, because I was so thirsty for
it's intentional. It is definitely intentional.
Yeah, a girlfriend told me, she said, well, Leah, maybe they're just doing that. And I was like, well, this is the greatest gig ever, because I believe that they really intend to do me well. And so it has been nothing but high rewards and remarks and anything that I could possibly think of to give them the kudos. But one of the questions I want to ask you is that with the Cancer Treatment Center of America being only in central places in the United States, I've met so many people from all over the world. And it's unfortunate, because most of our stories have been that many of our physicians are not treating us with the type of love, or what did you call it, the mother standard of care, or the integrated services that people are willing. I mean, she was there from Barbados, and she was staying in a hotel, and she said she had her family and friends raise money for her in her country to send her here so that she could be taken care of. And so it's enlightening when you hear these stories, but it's also sad because you hear about other people that just don't have the same type of care. And why so many other physicians don't encourage more people to go there. I've never understood how many, scary enough, physicians that I've had have talked against me going there. And so one of my physicians said, "You'll just be a number." And I said, "Well, if I can choose one, I'm going to ask, can I be 35? Because I'm going." I'm so glad that I made that decision. But why do you think so many people talk against the unknown? It is really kind of too good to be true in some cases, because it's unbelievable the treatment that you get and how thorough they are about your treatment. Even the day that I did the interview with you, I was supposed to have my surgery actually today. And so last week, even on the broadcast, I said, "Oh, this is my last Monday with cancer. Praise God." And so praise God, just because of their thoroughness, they found three stains on my brain, blood bleeds. And so the surgeon was like, "Well, I can't do surgery until I know where they came from." And so even though they were old and they were stained, he still wants to know, why are they there? How did they get there? Because I don't want to start a process where you won't wake up. And so it's more important for me to find out the how and the when before I even deal with that. And so for me, all the other appointments I've had in other places was never even a consideration. They never even took the time to find out, was my whole body prepared for surgery? Nor did they teach me and guide me through, I have a nutritionist, I have a naturalist, I have a social worker. I mean, all these physicians that I see, I would have never seen on the outside, because it wouldn't have been part of the process. It was cut it out and keep it moving. But this, I mean, they're really, like you said, the integrated care. So why? Because it's not much effort when you really think about it. They're just taking a couple extra steps. Why, if you can say why, do you think other organizations don't take that effort to just make the whole person healthy?
Well, I think that, the honest response is that I think the real big deal here is simply investing in understanding the whole personage of the patient that you treat. And, what I certainly can say is this, that over the 25 years that I've been in this field, I think that healthcare is starting to appreciate and understand that you can't just treat the disease of a patient, or you just shouldn't try to do that. There is a mental, there is an emotional, there is a physical, and there is a spiritual component to who we are. We are a triune being. And again, Mr. Stevenson, who is the chairman and the owner and his family of Cancer Treatment Centers of America, understand very clearly that these are factors that make a difference to how people feel about how they want to be treated. So it's really it's really being conscious and connected to the humanity of individuals, and not just business as usual. Medical treatment and clinical care, just like anything else in our country, is a business, and it typically has been run like a machine that just kind of processed people through the inner workings. And at CTCA, to your point, we made a deliberate, conscious intention, driven by our chairman, that we need to slow that process down, and we need to make sure that we build into that process the mental component, the emotional component, the naturopathic component, the nutritional component, and the spiritual component. And obviously, at the top of all of that is good medical care, and then hire individuals who also have a personal mantra and mission driven around the idea that I want to care and take care of people the way that I would want to be cared and taken care of. And so it's built into the environment, and that's part of the of what is sought after
in terms of talent. You know, it's one thing to just be certified in a particular field of study, but then there's an additional component of, but what type of heart do you have toward humanity and people? And so that's very deliberate in looking and establishing would that person fit in our culture. So there's a very deliberate culture that CTCA has created to do just that, because ultimately, again, the understanding is he felt that his mother was not treated in the way that he felt she should have or deserved to be. And so he built that environment from the ground up, and it's an intentional design. It takes a little more time. It requires a little more, as you said, steps. But on the back end, it's so well worth it. And I think that people who don't understand, that investment then tend to talk against it because they've never experienced it. They've never been a part of it. I don't think that it's intentional to be not supportive of the concept. I think it's just a lack of understanding. And it's an old paradigm. You know, the paradigm of medical care and treatment was always driven around the doctor drives the bus. He or she has the last word, and that the patient just goes along with the program. And at CTCA, we've made the decision that the patient should be at the center of care and that they should be partnered with. They should be part of their care. And whatever is important to them, we need to make sure that we provide it to them. So there's just a commitment to the humanity of the patient and not just the machinery of the execution of the X's and O's of medicine and science.
And I love it. I love it. I love it. And so I'm loving it more so because God thought enough of me to allow me to be part of it. And so I know I could have you go on and on, and we both could go on and on, but unfortunately our time is winding down. And so one of the things that I was excited about having you on is because to me, even with your show, Health, Hope, and Inspiration, hope is the key word, at least for me. And so I always try to leave steps for the listening audience to go with. And so one of the things that I really love, of course, and enjoy is looking up scriptures and looking up words for definitions. And so one of the scriptures that that many of us understand is God's plan for us. And so Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm, plans to give you hope and a future." Mm-hmm. And I believe at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, they definitely acknowledge God, one, first and foremost. But they do, their desire is to give you hope. They may not be able to have all the right tools to heal because it's God's job, but they make sure that you have the right path and that they put you on the right path. And then praise God, for many of us, healing does come through the hands of those precious doctors. And then sometimes it comes through the other paths that they also provide with the naturopathy and all the other things that they offer. It comes through that. But if we were to actually understand hope, and I try to figure out acrostics, I think that's how you say that word, where I take the word and then ask God to give me words to go with it. So if we were talking about hope, of course I'm Dr. Happy, so H would have to be happy. And then the O would be optimistic, P would be prosperous, and E would be efficient. And so when you look up those simple words, because again, we know what happy means, but praise God, when you really look into the definition to try to find out how it relates to you, the individual person, and your situation may not be cancer. It could be, you know, something that's high blood pressure, or it could, you know, you could have fallen off your bike and skinned your knee, whatever it is that's important to you to understand that you have to have hope that God will heal. And so you have to be happy. And so happy, the definition is feeling or showing pleasure or commitment. And so the scripture reference that God gave me that I used to stand by often, I still do, but I like to do Genesis 30:13, so you can look it up later, but that just kind of proves why God called me happy. It said, and Leah said, but anyway, that's another story. But the scripture that God gave me for tonight is, happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and that man that getteth understanding. And I think that has been the challenge with many of us when we go into these challenges and these tunnels of tribulation, we don't quite understand. And so if we just seek God, he will give us the wisdom that we need, and he'll help us to get the understanding that we need. And when we have the understanding, and then we can find the wisdom, it's easier to accept the direction and then find the way to wherever God is leading us. And so that goes with the optimistic, hopeful, and confident about the future. And so the verse scripture reference God gave was Romans 15 and 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we're going through trials and tribulations, not only should we be happy, we should definitely be optimistic, because we believe that God has a plan for us, and that plan is for us to prosper. And so if his plan is for us to be delivered, we have to be wise enough to understand that he's going to do it the way he wants to do it and how he wants to do it. But praise God, if he leads you in the right direction, you got to be open to hear and then be optimistic that he will do what he said he would do. And then the P is prosperous. And so prosperous is a condition of being successful or thriving, especially. But one I like to say is marked by success or economic well-being, enjoying vigorous and healthy growth, flourishing. Now, being prosperous, a lot of people believe it's all about money and stuff. But prosperous is a mindset. And so you could be just as successful in the areas that God has called you to without having all this stuff, although the stuff is nice. But praise God, we have to seek God for what he has for us. And so the scripture reference for the P is 3 John 1 and 2. And it says, dear friends, I pray that you may find, that you may enjoy good health and all that may go well with you, even as your soul prospers. Praise God. And so, again, that's amazing for me, because even though I have been marked by this crazy thing, I know it's not unto death for me, at least I believe, because I seek God, and I know that I'm happy with the direction that he has me in. I'm optimistic that he's going to do what he needs to do. And then I know that because he called me to be in this walk, he's going to provide me with the things that I need so that I can be prosperous. And then last but not least, the E is efficient. Efficient is working in a well-organized and competent way, achieving maximum productivity with minimum wasted effort or expense. And so, of course, that's Proverbs 16 and 9. It says, the heart of a man plays his way, but God establishes his steps. So basically, with hope, if we all go into whatever it is that we're challenged with in life with the hope of God, he will give us the wisdom that we need, but we got to be listening. And so you got to pray, and you got to talk to him. You got to spend time with him so that you'll know the plan that he has for you. Because I know that God won't give us anything that we can't bear. And like you said, even with the Job story, when you brought on how all these people came to him and told him to curse God. And even when Job thought about, well, Lord, maybe, you know, well, and then God had to remind him, you didn't put the sun in the sky. You don't set the moon or the stars. I remind myself of times, because sometimes we do get beside ourselves and we don't remember. Well, Lord, you said you wouldn't put no more on me. And so my uncle, had a conversation with him. It was like, well, you know, the scale's getting a little heavy, Lord. I don't know if you feel it, but I kind of feel it's getting heavy. And so we have to be reminded that God knows, and he knows when, and he knows where, and he knows how. And so I am so grateful that God has connected me with the CTCA family, and that I suggest anybody that's listening to make sure that you're going where God sends you. You know, it's easy for us to open up the book or go online and pick a doctor out, but let God order your steps, because when we lean to our own understanding, we go down the wrong path. We need to allow him to direct all of our work so that we could be in line with him. So now, again, like I said, we're running out of time, but if you could give us your final words, what would you want the listening audience to remember you by? And how would you convince them to do whatever it is that God has called you in this whole premise of hope?
Well, Dr. Leah, thank you for the time and the privilege to be on your platform and to speak to your audience that you have nurtured. It has been my privilege and pleasure. And I'm just going to dovetail right off of your closing comment about hope. Philippians 1:20 says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now always Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, The Apostle Paul is talking here. He's basically saying that hope is an eager and an earnest expectation. And so just as you said, Dr. Happy, as we communicate to God, as we reach out to him, as we allow him to lead and guide us, and as we continue to stand on the firm foundation that God can do anything but fail, that we are more than conquerors, that we are more than overcomers, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that when we understand and live from that place and be reminded of that position of our eternal right standing with God, that we have something to say because God ultimately still has something to say about any circumstance that we face, and that includes cancer. And so my final comment to you today is how I end every segment of my podcast, and that is, remember, we've got work to do. So keep chopping the wood. God's not done with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. And until he says stop, you continue to keep chopping that next piece of wood because greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. Be thou encouraged on this day, thy brother, my sister, that you are more than an overcomer and a conqueror in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really do appreciate you. Pastor, I'll call you Pastor P. I really appreciate you coming on the show on today. And I thank you for the interview that you allowed me to do on your broadcast. But I'm so eager when it comes to sharing with people why they need to really allow God to be God. We sometimes forget and think that we are in control, but we're really not in control. He's in control. And so if we don't allow him to lead, then amen, we'll lead ourselves astray. And so I like that. Keep chopping the wood. And we still got work to do. We really do. We have a lot of work to do. So, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you, praise God, can you tell us one more time how we can reach your podcast and get in touch with you if necessary?
Yes, very quickly, if you would like to, you can subscribe for free. All I need is your first name, last name, and email address so that the podcast shows can be emailed to you. Reach me at health, hope, and inspiration, all one word, all lowercase, .com. Health, hope, and inspiration, .com. You can go to my website. We have free resources that you can download for cancer patients that talks about marriage, that talks about intimacy, that talks about children, anything that pertains to the cancer conversation. We have free downloadable resources that you can share and that you can give to other people, all free of charge at healthhopeandinspiration.com. If you'd like to reach out directly for a second opinion or to contact me, my phone number is 888-920-6466. Pick up the phone and give us a call. We are waiting to serve you. God bless.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you again. Now, I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song because I know she's always listening because she's my number one fan. Every praise belongs to God. You know. It does. And so praise God. Make sure that you tune in again next week. This is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, calling and asking for you to dial in again for another inspiring word next week. Remember next month that we focus on the enemy and who he is and who he does not. He doesn't have any power over us. And so we'll talk for a whole month about the adversary. But again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Remember, always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you all, and thanks again, Pastor Percy. Have a good evening. Be blessed.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. God.
You are God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up and praise.
Give me praise.
It's to our God.